Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Total sports bets made in New Jersey by month. June and July combined, that's when they first started, $57 million. August, $95 million. September, $183 million. October, $260 million. And in November, $330 million. People like to wager on sports.
Total handle in the first 5.5 months, $928 million.
Woo!
What was the payout?
I don't know.
But how many wins did we have?
Yeah, I know. You know state legislators are going to see that and be like, can I fund my project that I promised my constituents here with this?
Yeah, I don't know much about politics, but it's not can I find, it's we're going to find.
Dave McGinnis.
Yeah.
Coach Mack, what's up, man? Time to talk some ball.
Let's talk some ball. We got another game coming up. Got another real ball game coming up in New York.
I mean, this time of year, it's already the playoffs, right?
No, it's December football, and yeah, I mean every game now is a playoff game, especially when you're trying to play yourself in, and that's just what you do, and you've got to just put everything else you've done behind you and just get ready for the opponent ahead. And normally in these types of ball games, when I was coaching, the thing that you really concentrate on is the mental aspect of it, because at this time of year, you know, physically you can still practice, but there's not a lot that you want to beat your guys up with on the practice field because they've had all these weeks of going through it physically in this league. But mentally, and then mentally getting ready for an uncommon opponent. You know, an unfamiliar opponent is critical. And so the mental intensity that you have to prepare and get ready for these games, that's what's really important right now. And Mike Vrabel and his staff, they've done a really good job with these altered schedules, because the Titans have had, you know, quite a few altered scheduled weeks during this season. He's done a nice job of doing that. He's so in tune with the way the players are, how they're feeling, what's going on, how to get their bodies back, how to get them mentally and physically ready for ball games. But when you're playing an opponent that you're not used to playing, it's different when you're playing a division opponent. You know these people. You know your personal matchups. And I'm talking about as players, you know individually who you're playing against. And you know how you're going to have to beat them. When you're playing an opponent like this that you're not used to seeing, you've got to study people really hard this week.
How impressed were you with that 99-yard touchdown run?
The 99-yard touchdown run, you know, had several facets to it that were pretty incredible. First of all, it was 99 yards, okay? And that, to me, in the National Football League, that's hard to do. I mean, it's really hard to do just because of the speed of defenses.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, let me just say this about 99-yard runs and big runs coming off the goal line. A lot of times defensively. Let's go to the defenses. We had one hit us at Houston. A lot of times when you have somebody backed up like that, you might play an all up front trying to get a safety or trying to protect field position early on. If you can normally hit a crease on one of those things, your second level of defense is normally up into the line of scrimmage. So basically, and if you're playing a single high safety type of thing, especially with a condensed formation, you've only got to beat one guy early. You know, which is the free safety sitting back there that's an angel in the sky trying to come down. And so that's where you're going to see a lot of these things. But it was blocked extremely well. And then what Henry did, I mean, that was, as I said on the broadcast, that reminded me of when I was growing up playing in the backyard with my little brother, when you keep stiff-arming him down into the ground, and he goes inside crying, and your mother says, quit playing so rough with him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's kind of what that was like.
What do you think the film session was like for the Jags defense to watch him do that to them with the coach with the laser pointer going, can't knock him out of bounds, can't go low, you can't do something?
They probably said a few more adjectives than that in front of all those. But it wasn't good, because two things. Not only did you get beat physically, you got beat effort-wise. Yeah. And you also got beat technique-wise, guys, because let's be honest. Look, if you're trying to take a back down of that size that has, you know, that much of a head of steam going, and really, Henry wasn't running full speed on that one because he was having to start, stop. Whenever you're taking on a physical back like that, and especially one that is, you know, as tall as what, you know, Henry is, I mean, and you try to take him on upstairs, and I mean, and when he sticks that stiff arm out there, I mean, that's like having a pole vault pole in your hand. I mean, he was jamming them from a long way away. That you got to go low. You know, and they didn't. And, you know, effort, technique, I mean, I'm glad they didn't.
You mentioned that it was blocked well, which it was. The other thing, he didn't shuffle his feet. He didn't dance in the hole. He hit it. Well, and he trusted that it would be there, and it was.
He started out on the inside zone, but what he really did on it, he had great vision. He started out inside, and he saw where the backside second level was going. The backside right. second level came really hard down to the A gap, and then he saw that backside, you know, outside that nine gap or outside the tight end come open, and so he hit it, and then he was gone. It was an impressive performance.
It completely energized the building. You can feel it. And I heard you talk on the Wake Up Zone coaching with the Bears. There were times, well, every game, where Walter Payton would do that same thing. He would have a run that would energize the whole building, including the team.
Mickey, when you've got a running back that is not only putting in a performance like that, but that is physically dominating your opponent, I mean, that gets everybody fired up. You and I were just sitting here during the break watching. They have some, you know, some Bears highlights on, you know, from back in the day, you know, when we were there, and you could see, but, you know, that Bears defense was great back then, starting with 85 with Buddy Ryan, and then when we took that thing over for about three or four more years. But let me tell you when that defense was at its best, watching Walter run. Because time's coming off the clock, and he's out there wearing out somebody, and it gets everybody energized. And you guys, I mean, that crowd, I mean, they came to life. I mean, it electrified that crowd, and it does, because that's, and especially in December football. Because December football, your ground game and your defense, I don't care what era we're in of the National Football League, this time of year, you better be able to play those two physical aspects of National Football League ball.
You know, it's funny. Kevin Byard yesterday said exactly that. He said it fired everybody up, and he said they had just come off the field from that goal line stand, so they were pretty fired up, but they were sitting down trying to catch their breath and everything, and he said you could hear the crowd. And the sound that the crowd made, you could tell something was happening. So he looked up at the video board and saw Derrick Henry.
And you know what's cool about it is, and you could hear the crowd. Now, Dawn's on sideline. She's been on the sideline of, you know, a lot of big-time ball games, you know, when she's working the sideline. You can feel the crowd, too. I mean, you can feel it. I mean, it's kind of, you know, I equate it to, you know, I've been to about 13 or 14 Indy 500s. I know nothing about car racing. And when I was asked to go one time, I went up there and stood down there in the pits when those cars come by. I mean, it's a physical rush, you know, because of what's going on. That's kind of the way it is in the stadium when you've got people just going completely crazy over what's going on. You get a nice feeling.
He mentioned the goal line stop, and you know, we talked, I've said this over and over, we talked so much about Derrick Henry's performance, but we almost overlooked how good this defense was and what they did for sacks in that game. What's clicking for them at this point that has to carry over facing this New York team?
Let's talk about the goal line stop a minute, Dawn, since you brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, okay, look. Dean Pease made a great call, and he took a gamble. He made on that goal line defense what you call a goal line out call, which means normally in goal line defense you're in inside shades because you're trying to bottle up the middle and force things to the outside. He made a goal line out call because fourth down from that you're protecting both the run and the pass, okay? And so when you make a goal line out call and you get on the outside shades, what you are doing is you are depending on your inside, your second level backers, which really is everybody at that point because your safeties are up. You're depending on them to be able to fill anything that happens. But what you're defending against, you're not only defending against anything on the perimeter or quick hitting, you're defending against what we call a fan pass, which is a flat and a corner route by the tight end in the back on a play action pass, you know, out of the backfield. We've all seen that wide open. Everybody says, how's that tight end so wide open against goal line defense? Well, play action pass against goal line defense is really hard. He made the call, but your linebackers have to trigger so fast, and Evans triggered so fast off of that, and we got penetration out of it. It was a great call. It was a calculated gamble call that Dean made. The players executed it up front, and then Rashawn Evans, and we can talk about him, but he you know, and we've talked about him throughout what's going on, and we all talked about it early on. He missed a lot. He missed all of training camp. He missed everything. Now, and especially with a young linebacker, it's always eyes before feet. His eyes are trained now to the speed of this game. His eyes are trained so he can get ahead of blocks, and his eyes are also trained to triggering. I mean,
you see that? Like, you see the difference?
Well, absolutely I do, and that's all I look at because, you know, I coach linebackers for a minute in this league, you know, for 30-something years, and when a linebacker is playing well and seeing things before they happen, that's triggering. And he triggered so fast on that. That was beautiful to watch. It was a great job of Dean on the call. Everybody executed up front. And then Evan triggering and finishing it off.
At your local Dunkin' Donuts, they got the holiday menu there. Stuff like cinnamon sticky bun flavored coffee. That's just a perfect.
What?
I'm telling you, it's a
that
real
exists?
Thing at Dunkin'.
I've had it. It's awesome.
They do the holidays awesome. Better than anybody does the holidays.
I told you, I usually go black coffee, but I had that Cinnabon thing.
Got your buns all sticky in there.
You know what Dunkin' did?
This is what we work with, Coach Mac.
No, and it's awesome.
thank you, Coach.
It's awesome. Up in the Titans radio, up in the Titans suite, that Thursday night game, they had that, what do you call it? The barista or whoever does stuff with the Dunkin' barista up there. I'm going to show you what he did with one of those lattes for Coach Mac. And I didn't drink it because he did it such a nice job of it. It was outstanding. He took that.
He made your picture on your coffee.
He made a Coach Mac.
He took that Bitmoji and put it in that coffee.
Here.
I mean,
text that to me. I need to tweet that out.
I wanted to.
Because you're not on the Twitter machine.
Yeah. I wanted to tip the dude about $300 because it was so cool. I mean, how do you do that?
It looked just like you, too.
No, he took it right off that Bitmoji, Don. He said, Coach Mac, let me have that thing. We were the first ones. We walked in there, and he said, Coach Mac, let me have that. So I gave, you know, I went, okay. I mean,
hey, send that to me. I want to get that out there.
I appreciate talent.
We ask you about social media a lot, but think how much extra Coach Mac stuff you could do if you were on Twitter. Then you could just Coach Mac with the world.
I really don't need to do that.
He does Coach Mac with emojis all over the place. Like you're the most skilled emoji sender I've ever seen.
That's my little niece.
It's a gift.
That's my little niece that did that for me. But anyway, that was pretty cool.
You were talking about Rashawn Evans triggering on that play, and we've seen it now consistently from him the last few weeks. And you know, I could see it like as a former, almost an old linebackers, as a former linebackers coach, I could see almost light up talking about it.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I absolutely love it. And here, look, at the beginning of the year, first of all, I really liked it when they traded up to get him in the draft because I had vetted him, watched him. I mean, I knew what kind of dude that was. Okay. And then I was really disappointed for him and for the team that he wasn't able to get, because I know how vital it is for a young linebacker to get that training early on, because your eyes are just trained different in the National Football League than they are in NCAA football, no matter what level you play at. And he played at the highest level. But to watch him now grow, it's as much fun as I had. And I tell Jay on this all the time, too. I enjoyed, you know, watching Jay on grow from his rookie year to what he was able to do during the preseason and the off season, and then to this year, because I mean, I know how much it takes, you know. And then, you know, and again, you know, Tyrone McKenzie, I gave him a lot of credit. That takes work. It takes work. It takes patience. I did it for 30 plus years and I know what it takes, but the reward at the end of it is worth it, because once you get a linebacker that's got ability trained in this league, especially now the way offenses are, if you've got a second level player that's a good foot athlete that can not only help you run gap fit wise, but can also play the pass, both man and zone, you've got something in your defense that's really, really important.
And Jayon was a guy who I think really surprised in year one, was a later draft pick. They're trying to get somebody to help cover tight ends, running backs, that kind of thing. And he did a great job of that. But watching him in training camp, there were days we were all standing there and we kept talking about him, and he kept making plays, and not just covering guys, making plays in the run game. And you could tell that light was on over him. It's just been something else to watch. Both of those guys have been really good this year.
Yeah, Mickey, and you and I sat there and watched it. And for a young linebacker, you know, and especially, you know, Jayon's not a physically imposing linebacker. Right. He's a physically gifted linebacker, but he's a foot athlete. But you can play the run. You can get ahead of blocks if you know what you're seeing, if you know what you're anticipating, and you don't wait. How many times have I sat here at this microphone and said to you guys, and then just, you know, to our listeners, you know, a slow, correct decision in the National Football League on defense is wrong. you can't be, and you've got to be able to play fast. And you play fast, not with your feet first, but with your eyes. If you don't know what you're seeing, you don't know where you're going.
In fact, we said that to Kevin Byard, and he goes, yeah, he's playing fast now. Playing fast.
Yeah, and that's and there's a whole lot that goes into that, but it's much more than foot speed. You know, it's what you trigger mentally and how fast you trigger it mentally.
And I feel, we're going back to Evans, I feel like he knew it was coming. He got interviewed after a game. Woodyard had 10 tackles and led the team in tackles, and they asked Rashawn Evans about Woodyard, and he said, every league, every time I've played, I've been the guy that led the team in tackles. He said, it's hard. He had one in the game. He said, I will get to the place, though, where I lead this team in tackles. And it wasn't 3 or 4 weeks later, he led the team in tackles in a game.
Yeah, Mickey, and what you can see, like in Woodyard, you've got a vet, you know, double-digit vet in years in this league, and you can see how important it is to know what you're seeing.
Right.
You know, because then, you know, once you get advanced in your career, even if you're not moving quite as fast as you were when you were young, you still can play faster than most if you know what you are seeing. And that, to me, that's a vital, vital part of being able to play in the National Football League on defense, but it's especially vital at that linebacker level and at that safety level.
And they had all the talk going into that game was Leonard Fournette, healthy, missed the previous week, would be PO'd, you know, would go out there, and they had a great plan for him, and eventually he was taken out of the game. They got so far behind. But even early on, when he had opportunities, they gang tackled him. He had nowhere to go.
No, he really didn't. And they really swarmed him. They ratty tat tatted him several times. you know, one after the other on him. And they finally broke his will. I mean, and plus, then turn around and look what the offense was doing. As you know, they were pounding the football and being able to move it. And the one interception that Marcus had, they were on a great drive then.
Right.
You know, they were moving the football. And it was a good team win, and it's a must team win, as all of these games are.
I love how they came out of the gate on offense. They went no huddle on the first drive. They threw screens on the first drive. It gave the defense things to think about. And one of the things that Blaine Bishop always tells us about defense, he goes, you want to make the defense run back and start trying to figure out and plan for the next thing, and then you throw something completely different at them. He goes, every time you send a defense to the sidelines, you want them talking about, okay, what do we do to stop this? And it felt like they did that right from the jump.
Well, and what you do so well, and what they did so well in this ball game, their first 15, normally guys that are really dialed in offensively, that are play callers on their first 15, they are going to give things to the defense that you're going to check out and see how they're going to line up to formations, to personnel groups, what they're going to do, and then you start to build your counter punches. But the thing that Matt LaFleur and this offense did so well this ball game, they not only did that formation personnel-wise, they did it tempo-wise, too. And it's not necessarily you have to do all the different things. You have to, if you vary your tempo, that's what puts a defense on their left foot. If you're huddling sometimes, and then all of a sudden, you know, they catch their breath, and then all of a sudden you're up on the ball tempo, you go tempo for a series, and then that type of thing, too, especially early in a ball game, before you have time to go to the sideline and start checking those tablets, that unsettles a defense, too.
So the Giants start out 1-7, Coach Mack, and now they've won 4 out of 5. Very impressive. Saquon Barkley, 1,100 yards rushing. He's got, like, what, 5 straight 100-yard games, something like that.
He leads them in receiving. He leads them in receptions, too.
And it's funny talking to people. It looks like on tape, when we were talking to Byard about this, that he would rather turn down a 4-yard run and take a 1-yard run in the hopes of getting the 80-yard run, that he's always looking for that home run ball.
Look, this, guys, this is a generational back. He's like Todd Gurley. I mean, I mean, this, you know, they were panned a little bit about that pick. But when you get a special talent like Todd Gurley or like this guy that you can build your offense around, which L.A. figured how to build one around him, and, you know, that's what they're – and that's what they figured out. Look, this football team, and I've gone back and watched – you know, most all of their tape, because I was interested to see what the 1-7 was and then what this is right now. This reminds me, guys, a lot of that of the 2009 Titans team that I was a part of here. Followed that 2008 year we were 13-3, you know, number one seed in the league, got beat by, you know, I don't want to, you know, it makes me cry still. But anyway, we start off the next year 0-6. But it was not an 0-6 football team. Lost a lot of games early, got a lot of people hurt in the secondary, and then completely, you know, regrouped after the open date, and then won 8 out of our next 10.
Right.
Okay. This football team here is the same way. You know, they're working with a new defensive coordinator, you know, and James Betcher, he's got that multiple 3-4 defense that he's put in. But most importantly, what they learned to do and they started to do was figure out how to build this offense around the running back. And they did that. They built it around the running back, and now they can incorporate the other people they have, because don't go to sleep on Odell Beckham and the two Shepherds and Evan Engram and this offensive line. Once they got Jamon Brown inserted there from that they got from the Rams at right guard, they've solidified that. You can see what they are doing now. I mean, this is a good football team that is really clicking on a lot of cylinders, and plus they've figured out with a new coaching staff how to play complementary football, and especially use, and this is a generational back now. I mean, he's a difference maker.
Anthony Ferkser is a guy, you talk about injuries and what the Titans have, they saw Delanie Walker go down before the season started. Jonnu Smith really starts to get things, he goes out. Anthony Ferkser, Michael Pruitt, Luke Stocker are the tight ends. Ferkser's an interesting guy, though, and he does two things really well, Coach. He runs great routes. He catches the ball.
No, absolutely. And you see what this football team has done here, being able to adapt through quite a few injuries. We started off, and it happened so early in the year that we forget. I mean, you know, they lost a key cog to that offense. You know, I mean, when you lose somebody like Delanie Walker, and then going into it, Jonnu Smith, you know, wasn't going into this season planning on being the man at that position. He went into it, you know, still on a learning curve. Well, he had to accelerate that learning curve. You saw what he was starting to do. Unfortunately, on the 99-yard run, you know, we have a great run, but we also lose a really good young player for the remainder of the year. And so everybody else has got to bump up. But Ferkser has been, you know, it's a great story, and when you watch a guy like that come in and compete and just continue to compete, but not only compete and work in practice, but when you get a chance to do it in a ball game and you get open against NFL coverage, and more importantly, you make the catch, and he's made some critical catches, well, then, you know, you've got to keep moving, because that's what the National Football League is about, especially this type of year. It's adapt and continue to move forward, because you're going to have to deal with those things, because the percentage of players that are going to get hurt in a National Football League season is 100%.
This Giants defense has been better against the run than versus the pass. We know what kind of weather there usually is in New Jersey, though, in December, and it's not necessarily passing weather. But
forecast is 49 degrees, 80% chance of rain.
Okay. That means it's going to rain.
Yeah. Teams have had good luck in the air, though, against this Giants team. That appears to be, at least recently, where they're having the most luck against.
Well, they have, and the key to that is, and again, I go back to James Betcher and what he's been able to do with that defense. You know, I've always been impressed with what he's done with that 3-4 defense, because it's so multiple. You've got to be able to identify where they're coming from with this defense, and also he puts his people. I know, you know, personally, two of the players that he's got playing with him, you know, Alec Ogletree and Janoris Jenkins, you know, I was on the team that drafted those guys at the Rams, really good players. And you can see that they're starting to play together. And the thing that they do so well is they put you behind the chains so much on first and second down. All right. He understands that he's got an issue if people can come out and be able to play the chain game with him and put them in conflict downs, run and pass with that secondary. So he really works hard first and second down to get you into third and pass, as to where he can use those underneath guys. Alec Ogletree's got 5 interceptions as a linebacker. So that tells you he's doing a lot of things structurally on first and second down to be able to use his linebackers in coverage.
So what do the Titans have to do to come away with victory against this?
Well, the first thing they've got to do, they've got to play field position football. This is December in New Jersey. I've been in that stadium, played a lot of games, especially in December. What you have to do, it's field position football up there, you know, this time of year. You can't afford to give away field position, first of all, on special teams. I mean, you just can't afford to do it. The next thing you have to be able to do is against this defense, anytime you've got a defense that is going to be multiple, you've got to be able to identify where they are, and then you've got to be able to crease them at some time or another to get them try to stay back and stay stationary instead of moving people around so much. You know, you've got to be able to do that and stay ahead of the chains, especially when you're playing on the road in December in that type of weather. You have to be able to do that. Defensively, you've got to contain the running back. I mean, you've got to contain him. And I didn't say stop him, because you're probably not going to stop him. He's too talented. There's too many things they can do with him. You're not going to totally stop him or shut him out. You got to contain him. This is more of an explosive offense than it is an effective grinded out offense at New York. And so you've got to contain the explosive play. The explosive plays have to be kept to a minimum.
When you got in the league, coach, in the 80s, if somebody said, hey, one day down the road, the salary cap in this league is going to be $191 million, what would you have said?
Well, first of all, when I got into the league, there was no salary cap.
Right.
You know, and when I first came in, there was no salary cap. There was no free agency. I mean, there wasn't any. Once the salary cap era came into it and you started looking at it and you know, first of all, we all had to figure out what the salary cap was. And then right. You had to figure out how to manage it. You guys have been doing this long enough. You know, in the early years, there was a lot of teams that mismanaged that cap so bad that they put themselves in cap hell. Had to erase a lot of good players to be able to. Now people have figured it out. I mean, it's well figured out. And plus it keeps increasing every year. Right. So the pressure's not on you as much to do it. But the numbers, you can't even get caught up in these numbers anymore because, I mean, the numbers, you know, there was a time, you know, back to when you said, well, this guy's not worth that. This guy, look, that doesn't make any difference. You get good players and then you pay them what the market says pay them and you move on because everything's increasing because it's such a popular thing, which is a good thing.
It's based on how much money they're making.
Absolutely. And it's a good thing for all of us. I'll never complain about that because the National Football League has afforded me a great life for 33 years.
What's it like to be in a locker room, a part of a team, knowing basically if you want a chance at postseason, you got to win the next three?
The thing is, you know it's in your hands, and that's what's good. That's in your hands. You know, the worst thing is to know that, first of all, number one, Dawn, that you have no chance. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, to know that you have a chance because you can never predict the future, you know, early in September, October, you know that, you know, AFC losses aren't going to help you. But once you get to this point, at least it's in your hands. And at least you know that if you just look, it's a 1 week season now. It's been a 1 week season for a while. You know, won the last two. That's extremely important. Win this one. It's a great feeling just because of the fact that you've got it in your hands. If you've got it in your hands, then you put everything else aside, you focus on that, and then go get it done.
Titans radio analyst, Coach Dave McGinnis. We call him Coach Mac. Thank you for the time, as always. Always fun.
Guys, it's always a pleasure to come in here. See y'all later.